The last 2 days we've been looking in Titus chapter 2 at the end of chapter 2 and chapter 13. Yesterday, or chapter 3, my Bible only has three chapters of Titus. If you have 13 chapters, you might want to check into a different Bible. So we're looking at chapter 2 and chapter 3. At the end of chapter 2, yesterday, we spent a lot of time looking at verse number 14, where Paul is speaking to Titus and in giving instructions to Titus on how to teach. What to teach to men, what to teach to women, and basically what to teach to you and I, even still today. Speaking about Jesus, he said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we looked at that in detail. What I want to focus on is that last part, that last phrase, where it says zealous for good works. Because that means that there's an enthusiasm, there's a zeal. There's an energy that is there to do good works. In other words, to do things not to benefit me, but to do works that my life should be a series. My day-to-day should be a series of events where I'm walking into opportunities. I might not even see them coming, but opportunities present themselves when I can do good works. In other words, where I can represent Jesus Christ, where I can share his truth. I can give hope to someone else. Or maybe it's just even just praying for someone that they might not even know that you were praying for them. It's doing good works. Works are sacrifices on your part to benefit others and to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. In the Amplified Bible, it says it this way, that we are his people, eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Again, this is doing things not for self, but for others. Verse number 15, the final verse of chapter 2 in Titus says, tell them all of these things. So Paul is saying to Titus and to you and I, tell the people, tell them all of these things. Urge, advise, encourage, warn, and rebuke with full authority. Let no one despise or disregard or think little of you. Conduct yourself and your teaching as so to command respect. So now let's move to the third chapter. Because in the third chapter, in the second chapter from the very beginning, he was talking about, you know, how what elders should be, who's qualified, what things he should teach, what are some of the sound doctrines that are provided for the church itself. And then in chapter 3, he says, remind them to be subject. Now, this is why there's an interesting turn here. So we just looked at the importance of doing good deeds, being eager and enthusiastic to do things that represent Jesus Christ, to do those things which are beneficial. They're good. How do we know what things are good? You know what? A lot of times in life, this is a very simple adage. Things that happen in your life, you know. No one has to tell you. When something happens to you, no one has to tell you if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You can make that discernment all by yourself. You know right away if something is good or something is bad. No one has to give you instruction. And here's a simple adage. Every good thing comes from God. Every bad thing comes from the enemy. Quite simple. God is a good God. He brings good things. End of story. Satan is bad. He's evil. He doesn't bring any good at all. He brings only bad things. Bad things come in your life, you know where they came from. Good things come in your life, you know where they came from as well. So we're instructed to do those good things. And sometimes, well, I'm not even quite sure. What does that mean to do good things? You know what? When the opportunities present themselves, when all of a sudden today you're presented with an opportunity to do good to the glory of Jesus and to benefit someone else, you're going to know. You're going to know. You'll see that opportunity. If you're looking for it, you will see the opportunity. Then we can take advantage of it. So with that, then he's going on and he's saying, he's talking about, when you read these verses, or when you hear these verses, I'm going to read to you in chapter 3 of Titus, it's going to sound very familiar, because it's going to sound just like our culture today. Chapter 3, remind them. So he's saying to Titus, remind those that you have opportunity to give instruction to. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. So again, he's looking at the importance of the good works and to be ready for those good works. But in so doing, we also have to be subject to the rulers and to the authorities, to obey. We see a lot of the exact opposite taking place. Now, we can see that taking place certainly in some of the things that have transpired just this month, where people refuse to obey even what the Constitution says. And they refuse to obey what the law has prescribed. They just refuse to do it. And it's not just in the political realm. You can see this attitude is an attitude that has been festering and growing, you know, over probably a generation, where people do not want to subject themselves. They do not want to be subject to someone else. They don't want to obey someone else. Just look at the workplace. You know, how many times in the workplace, and I would even say this, in the last 10 years, how often in the workplace do you see people that, or hear people, that speak beyond disrespectful? They speak rebelliously against those that are in leadership. They speak rebelliously against those who are at the workplace, their rulers, their supervisors, or you know the heads of companies and organizations, or just those who are directly over them, even in a mid-level management position. If somebody is subject over you, if somebody has authority over you, this is the attitude that we're supposed to have. So we see it in the political realm, but the political realm is nothing else really than a mere reflection or a window, an evidence of the larger overall attitude of the people of our culture, of this culture today. And it's the exact opposite of what we are supposed to be living, what we're supposed to be teaching others and demonstrating to others. So he says, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Uh-oh. How often? It's Wednesday. How often this week have we spoken evil of somebody else? To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humanity to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. He goes on from there to talk about some of the things that we should be avoiding, like foolish disputes and contentions and strivings, things that are unproductive and useless, to turn away from divisive individuals, to warn them once and then after the to reject them after the second admonition. So what I want to focus on is the very beginning of that third chapter when he says, remind people to be submissive to their leaders, to their authorities, to be obedient. You know, that's something that goes against what we're trained to be. We are trained in our culture to think, I have rights, and my rights must be heard, and my rights must be enforced. And if enforcing my rights infringes upon somebody else's rights, so be it. I must fight for my rights. That's the attitude that we have, and that is the exact opposite attitude that is being spoken to us here by Paul in his letter to Titus. Because all of those thoughts are very self-involved and selfish. And it's counterproductive to being able to do good works. Remember, the two verses before this, we just saw that Paul was instructing Titus, and through the Holy Spirit, speaking to you and I, even today. And the Holy Spirit is instructing us and telling us the importance of having that eagerness, that enthusiasm to do good works, to do works that are sacrificial, to do works that don't benefit you, but they benefit other people as you glorify the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the heart of Jesus, and it's what He's done for us. We're supposed to be eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Beneficial deeds doesn't mean a life that is filled. It doesn't mean that I'm eager and enthusiastic to live a life where I am finding and doing work that brings beneficial deeds to me. Now, that's the way we think. How is it that we accept job positions? How is it that we just live our lives? How is it we make decisions in our lives? We do it based upon, well, is this going to benefit me? How will this benefit and impact me? Is it more beneficial for me to do this, or is it more beneficial for me to do that? Now, that sounds like sound logic. But can you see that's contrary to what's being said? See, if I am looking and making every decision in my life, not by seeking Jesus Christ, not by seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who knows me best and knows the plans He has for me, and knows the good things He has for me, if I am not seeking the counsel and listening to the Holy Spirit to make those decisions in my life, when I have those opportunities to decide, well, what's going to be more beneficial? My question should not be, what's more beneficial for me? My question should be, Holy Spirit, what is more beneficial? What are the works? What is the decision that I should make that is beneficial to you? Because I know that I'm doing things that are beneficial. If I know I'm doing things that are beneficial to others and representing Jesus Christ, He's going to take care of me. I'm going to wind up in a better place. And here's the irony, the dichotomy, which the world doesn't understand. And unfortunately, the world has so invaded our thoughts and then sometimes overwhelmed and overcome our thoughts that we even forget this. The irony is, if I am thinking and I'm making decisions on how does this benefit me, what's going to be most beneficial to me? Should I take this job or that job? Which job is more beneficial to me? The irony is, because you think that you're doing something to benefit yourself, you're actually going to wind up missing what is most beneficial to you. Because the most beneficial thing to you is going to be following in obedience in the pathway and in the direction that Jesus has for you. Because nobody knows your life. Nobody knows you better. Nobody loves you more than Jesus does. And nobody knows your life. He has established and set your life. And by appearances, you might be able to deduce by your own mind and your own thoughts and your own logic. You might be able to deduce that if I got to choose between this job and this job, which is most beneficial for me? Well, if I do all the equations in my mind and I think everything through, it surely appears that this is the most beneficial. Well, that's the conclusion you come to with your very limited knowledge of things. Because I only know a small percentage, a small portion of the events of my life and everything that surrounds my life. But Jesus knows everything. So doesn't it behoove me then to listen to seek counsel and listen to the direction and the decision of the one who loves me most, knows me best, and knows the plans He has for me? So there's a dichotomy or an irony that says, well, I can best make the decisions on what is the best direction for me to take. What's going to be most beneficial for me? If I make that decision based upon myself, I'm probably going to wind up with the opposite. I'm probably going to miss what's most beneficial for me because I missed listening to the Holy Spirit. I missed listening. I missed the direction that Jesus had for me. And nobody knows me better. Nobody loves me more. And nobody knows the plan for my life better than He, the one who established it even before I was born. Paul, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all three of them talk about how God had plans for their lives before they were born. The same thing is true for you. So when we look at this verse, and it talks about the beneficial deeds. So verse number 1 of chapter 3, remind people to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, to be obedient and prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. Notice that what it's saying is we should have the heart and the attitude that is not thinking about me first, but it's thinking about the beneficial deeds. It's thinking about the beneficial works of others, towards others. Not for me, but what are the beneficial works? Jesus, what is it that you have for me? Now, we also looked at that first verse, and you can see that we're told to be submissive to those who are in authority over us. Okay, that's contrary to the mindset that most of us have been taught to begin with. But if I'm not doing that, if I am not honoring and I'm not being obedient, if I am speaking ill about those who are in authority over me, whether it's your immediate supervisor at work, or whether it's the governor of Ohio, or whether it's the president of the United States, whether the current president or the president-elect, take your choice. If I'm not submissive to that authority, I'm going to miss the opportunity. I am not going to be able to do the upright and honorable works, the beneficial works that He's done for me. I positioned myself incorrectly, and I will miss those opportunities. And trust me, nothing's going to give you greater satisfaction in your life than having your life today accomplish the works, the beneficial deeds, not to self, but just beneficial deeds that advance the kingdom of God, that benefit other people, and that demonstrate the heart of Jesus Christ. Now, logic says, well, if I do that, then I'm helping others, and I'm not going to ever advance. Oh, quite the contrary. That's part of the dichotomy. That's part of the irony of it. If I am focused on helping others, if I'm doing beneficial needs, beneficial works for others, if I am making the sacrifice to do beneficial work for others, then I, and instead of trying to benefit myself and advance myself, I've gotten myself out of the way of my life. And now Jesus can fulfill and do those great things in my life that he has intended and that he's planned for me. As long as I was making the plans and I was making the decisions and I was thinking about myself, I have taken control of my life and he will not. But when I am doing beneficial works for others, not thinking, how does this benefit me? Not thinking about myself, but doing beneficial work for others, I demonstrate the heart of Jesus Christ. And because I've gotten myself out of my own way and out of the way of my life, Jesus can now bring those benefits, those deliverances, those promises, every good thing he's planned for us. He can bring that into my life because I've gotten out of the way. These are such valuable words that Titus shares with us. So we'll look at this a little bit more tomorrow in Titus chapter 3. But today, have that heart that honors those that are above. Be respectful. Watch my tongue. I need to watch my tongue and make sure that I am not speaking ill, disrespectful, improperly, evil of other people. And have that heart that is respectful to those who are in authority, whether I agree with them or not. And as I do that, I will then be able to see the honorable works. I'll be able to see the beneficial deeds that are before me. And once I see those, I can then move into them. And once I move into them, then Jesus, I'm out of the way. Jesus can move in and bring the benefits to my life that he's already prepared. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. You be glorified in your name, Jesus. Amen.